Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Won't Back Down podcast. Jake here with very special friend of the show, Harrison Tenzer, to talk a little recruiting. Now, we're missing Sam and Will today, so it's not, you know, it's not what we're used to. I guess you could call it a little bit of a Mickey Mouse Won't Back Down show, but Harrison knows a ton about recruiting, and I can't get off the class calculator and stuff, and I've been trying to do my work nowadays, so I had to get him in to record, talk commits, targets, all that kind of stuff, NIL. So, yeah, let's get it going. How are you today, Harrison?
I'm good, man. It's summer. Can't really complain. Recruiting's picked up the last couple of weeks. Where's Big Will at these days? He still travels the world.
Big Will's interning for the Dolphins.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's doing the Orange Bowl and the Dolphins. So good for him.
And Potosa is in the University of Florida College of Journalism and Communications newsroom right now doing sports scene. I'm pretty sure Steve Russell. So,
damn, everyone's doing good stuff this summer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, no, it's been a good couple months. I mean, I think we've had Cersei, Webb, Denson. We have Stokes. I think we had four this month.
Yeah. So I think we did an episode about a week and a half ago now, and I think we got Denson maybe the day before or that day, but you know, there was so much to talk about and three of us, so we didn't get to that.
Yeah.
I love the take, you know, Bartram Trail, last kid we got from there was Trevez. I think Denson will be better. You know, and we're looking to bring in at least one other corner in the class. So, and we got Raymond.
Everyone wants Cormani in the class. I mean, obviously, so he's the best. He's the best, excluding quarterbacks, and he's the best player in the country, in my opinion. I mean, I've got to see Cormani up close a few times. I actually got to see Sharif a couple times last year and once this year for South Florida Express because he plays for South Florida Express. And I mean, if this were 2008 or 10, he's probably ranked a lot higher. But with the way the league is trending now, with long prototypical corners, I mean, even that's kind of how Raymond wants his corner. Raymond, if you look at LSU, Eli Ricks, Stingley, they're all 6'1", 6'2". I mean, Sharif probably is going to be a star here, but you can play him outside. I mean, I just love the position versatility. He's technically sound. He's fundamentally sound. He comes from a good program, played a winning 7-on-7 team, knows how to win from Gator Country. I mean, you can't really hate the take at all. I mean, it's a great take. Right. I mean, he's a great CB2, CB3 in this class. I mean, we can talk about DB recruiting a little bit more, but it's a great start, and it's a really good, like, he's a great Florida kid. It makes a lot of sense. So he'll fit in really well with this defense.
Footprint, and we're getting back to that. And then, you know, the bigger names, we got Cersei, who kind of just dropped his edit, you know, no crystal balls, no hats, nothing. He just woke up for why we got Cersei. And it's funny because On3 seems to like a lot of our commits and our, you know, leans more than the other services do. You know, not exactly sure what goes into their ratings that's different, but Cersei's a top 50 kid, at least on the On3, and he's a, you know, consensus 4-star elsewhere. You know, it's funny, he looks like he's got all the tools to be a great edge rusher. I know Peterson and Spencer were on him, you know, big time offer list. And he played a lot of stand-up off-ball, like even dropping back in coverage for his high school team. So his huddle was interesting. What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, his huddle was really good. I mean, I know he was the number one edge on our board. So regardless, that was a pretty big win. I mean, staff did a great job there getting him to shut it down. I mean, Tennessee wanted him really bad. Florida State really wanted him really bad. And to go out and get your number one edge target for the class when they want six or seven total defensive linemen in this class is a pretty important thing. I mean,
yeah,
he had a great board visit when he was here in June. Yeah, the D-line board is –
that board is really deep. We got –
it's – yeah, Chaos, Coach Chaos has been worth every penny, but shout out to Chaos and Mike P. I know Derek Wingo was his host on his OV in June, and he had a great time with on his OV. So his recruiting legacy at UF continues. So good job for him and everyone involved. I mean, overall, that's a kid where it's a group effort to get, and a kid you kind of have to land. I mean, it's not the sexiest because he's not a Florida, like he's not an in-state kid. Alabama didn't really want him, but to go out and get your number one edge is just a big deal in a class where you need defensive line depth very badly.
Yeah, and I guess before we get into some of the other commits, you talk about the D-line board, and, you know, edge, you know, is looking promising. We got Nixon in the class as well, but where things really, really look to be different and improved from the Mullen and even the McElwain regime is, you know, getting those real trench monsters in. And I was looking through the last few classes, other than Gervon and Tyreek Sapp, you know, we didn't bring in too many kids who, you know, were college ready, like from that size, physical standpoint. Yeah. But then you look at the board currently and Cameron James, you know, I think he's a future first round pick potentially.
I've had conversations.
He's underrated as heck, man.
I've had conversations with a few people who are like, that kid reminds them like frame wise, size wise, even play style wise, because he's still new to football. He's kind of like baby Gerv, as crazy as that is, because Gerv's special, but like frame wise, and you watch his film, it's kind of like a lot of raw just athleticism.
Yeah, like DeForest Buckner,
6'6". Yeah, like you can't teach, and that's a good comp for Gerv too. Like you just can't teach that size and motor. So if you can get him, then I think that's a big thing. I know he's really high on the board.
Right, LeBlanc and Walker announced. LeBlanc, it doesn't look like LeBlanc and Walker.
I mean, Walker could go either way. I think LeBlanc's headed to OU.
But that's why you make the board so deep, you know, because we got
right.
I think Will Norman, I saw, you know, he's maybe
Will Norman is a very – yeah, he's a really good kid who could commit soon. I know he's pretty high up there on the board. Jordan Hall's up there on the board. But, I mean, credit to Napier and the staff. With Mullen, we're probably not even having – a few of these kids even as plan B's or even options on the board. It's just the top guys that we miss. I mean, this, like, do I expect to get all of LeBlanc, Hall, Norman, Cam James, and Walker? No, that's unrealistic. But the fact that we have options and can afford to miss on one or two of them is refreshing, and it'd still be a great class.
Yeah, exactly. And you can't say that about a few other positions. But, like, you look at this upcoming season and – you know, the D tackle room, in my opinion, is probably the most concerning. So there's going to be a few of those guys who play in 2023. You know, see the field.
Yeah, on the defensive side of the ball. On the defensive side of the ball, I got D tackle as my number one concern. And on offense, I got wide receiver, which has been my concern since the beginning of last year. But no, with D tackle, I mean, we're really thin. I mean, just off the top of my head, it's Gerv and Jalen Lear, like, and Big Dez, but you can't even play Big Dez for more than 30 snaps a game at this point, which is the type of player he is for now and probably will be until next year. So you basically have 2.5 guys at D tackle. So you're praying for health and you're praying someone else can maybe step up just to even buy a little more time.
Yeah. And you talk about wide receiver, and certainly that was another, you know, position room where even if there were a few, you know, 4-star guys that Gonzalez developed, the types of, you know, the prototype that he was bringing in, I know a lot of people didn't love, and I guess we can pivot to Eugene Wilson, who probably my favorite kid that we've got so far.
Yeah.
You follow Blue Orange Gator on Twitter.
It's kind of funny because it's like he somewhat knows what he's talking about a lot of the time, but no one knows who the hell he is. Like no one's met him. It's weird, but
he had a really good relatable, you know, one regarding a Wilson commit. He said, don't have to figure out which 6'3", 4.7", 40 Billy G wedge into the slot. I'm like, you hit the nail on the head, man. I think Wilson, another one who will see the field year one and is, you know, an SEC slot guy, certainly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you look at college offenses and NFL offenses now, a lot of the, like, if you watch Ohio State, you watch all the receivers like play all three positions, and you watch guys who play outside play the slot. OU, same thing. Lincoln Riley, same thing. Alabama, you saw it with their offense when they had Judy, Ruggs, and Smitty. In the NFL, you see a lot more guys getting drafted higher who can play the X, the Y, and the all three spots on the field. So I think that's where football's been trending. It's been trending more towards route runners and speed and the ability to create separation and be explosive, which is really what they're going for this class. I mean, Eugene Wilson's in, you have Patterson for now, at least. I mean, and they're still recruiting Aiden Mizell, who's probably your pure slot, but he could play outside one day, but he needs to gain a lot of weight. Mm-hmm. So for now, he's a pure slot. And Andy Jean, who honestly would be my favorite out of all of them. I think he's the closest thing to Callaway we've seen in a couple years.
That was my comp, too. And you always take a Miami Northwestern kid is always a take.
Give me all the, like, he's a kid from the West who's all state in track. I would definitely take him in a heartbeat, because how many kids from the West really bust? Like, I can't really name that many. Exactly. So
Miami's
But if you go 4 for 4 there, or even 3 for 4, I mean, that's a really one of the probably the best positional grades when we do our internal end of the class, like position by position report card. I mean, receiver is going to be probably toward the top of the list. So
yeah, shout
Colbert,
out.
I mean, it always made sense. Yeah, like me and I don't know if you follow Steven Rodriguez on Twitter. I'm sure you've seen his trolls and
definitely seen it. Yeah,
you've seen his trolls. Mm-hmm. Yes, but like we were always texting, like, this fan base is firing the guy who developed Drake London and Michael Pittman over missing a 3-star wide receiver who went to DJ Allen, who went to TCU on Sinai. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, the guy's going to produce talent. I mean, Billy Napier coached wide receivers at Alabama, and Gary Colbert is very good at this coaching thing too, and is young and can relate to these kids. So it never made any sense, and he deserves all of the credit for the class he's about to pull off. So as long as he can close, which he's shown he could with Eugene, it seems like he can with Mizell. I mean, this is going to be one of the best classes Florida's probably had at receiver since I can remember. I mean, except maybe the Swain, Hammond, and Cleave year. Other than that, this is probably like number two in the last decade.
Right. Yeah. One, and it's guys where
it's all said and done.
Right. Yeah. And it's guys who are good route runners, you know, speed and space, as you like to say. Yeah. You know,
that's
you do create separation. And I think in Napier's offense, what we're looking for. I guess before we get into our other stuff, two more commits, you know, really the big two names from the footprint, quarterback Marcus Stokes, running back Treyon Webb. I love the Stokes tape. Stokes tape for a couple of reasons. One of which that we did at least go after the big fish in Jaden Rashada before pivoting back to him. What I said to, you know, a couple of people the day we took him was, you realize Mullen, we probably would have got the same quarterback commit in this class if Mullen were here. The difference is that we at least, you know,
we would have
shot with a big name first.
And that's what I said. It's like I think Stokes is good. I think he's your prototypical high school quarterback who's going to need a year, maybe two, just to figure out and get everything right. But I think he can be really good. Like, the tools are there on the film. He's got a big arm, decent footwork, can move out. I mean, hometown kid, Jacksonville, it's hard to say no to that. I mean, at the end of the day, like I said to someone with Stokes, I'm like, it's kind of like, I said, I feel kind of bad for Stokes, because it's like when you go to the bar and you go for the 10 and you leave with the 6, you leave happy, but it's like you feel like you left something on the table, and that's kind of like how a majority of the fan base feels. But I'm happy for the kid. I mean, he gets to live at his dream school, he gets to be close to home. But I mean, and Florida's still, at the end of the day, Florida's got their quarterback. They got an Elite 11 quarterback who had pretty respectable offers from other schools. I mean, he was committed to Penn State, which isn't anything to sneeze at. So overall, good take by Napier, and I still expect them to quietly recruit some quarterbacks, and I still expect them to take one from the portal. I mean, whether to try and get someone for next year, maybe from the transfer portal, because I think you're going to see a lot more movement from the transfer portals. I mean, it's kind of the worst kept secret in the world that Texas is going to have a mass exodus at the end of this year. So maybe go after one of those guys.
Malik Murphy is one. I know we made a late Malik push Murphy. For last year, didn't get him, but you know, he looks probably going to be a fine man out. And that's no fault of him.
Malik Murphy. No, he should just, like, he'll do 1 year there and bounce. But, like, Malik Murphy, Jalen Milroe, or whoever loses at Alabama, there will be more names.
Yeah, Miller Moss at USC. I mean, that's probably, if I had to guarantee one name that'll be in the portal, given that, you know,
yeah,
he's going to sit behind Caleb.
On the way.
Because Caleb's got 2 years, and then Malachi.
Yeah.
So,
and Malachi is the prodigal son, so.
Right. Yeah, regarding the Stokes take, I mean, if, you know, there's only a certain amount of five-star, you know, sure thing quarterbacks per cycle. And honestly, when you talk about sure thing, yeah, I wouldn't even lump Rashada in there necessarily.
No.
But, you know, when you're going to, you know, go down the board, I think upside's what you want to look for the most, because let's face it, you know, most kids that you take aren't going to be a multiple year starter. So you might as well, you know, the Max Brown and the Stokes takes, I think, are similar for that reason, in that, you know, hey, we've never seen them, you know, operate anything close to a college level offense that they're going to, you know, have to do under Napier, you know, dropping back and standing in the pocket, firing balls, not really something you see from them, but there's a hell of a lot of arm talent with Stokes to work with. I mean, that one of the throws early on in his huddle tape, you know, leaning to his left, you know, off the back foot, corner of the end zone, reminded me of,
All posted that.
Yeah, man, it reminded me a lot of the AR throw against USF. You know the one I'm talking about?
Yeah, the one where he hit, where it just looked like he was going to throw the ball away, and he put it right on the money. Do I think it was? I think it was Cope who caught it. Might have been X, but
yeah,
it was such a great, that had. I watched that game at social, and that game, and when everyone, when that throw happened, everyone at social was like, jaw hit the floor.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some really, like you said, there's some really good intangibles there. I mean, it's a really good take. So I'm happy for the kid. The staff got the guy who they wanted. And I mean, if we're gonna, we can't not just say trust Billy, and then when he takes the quarterback, complain about it.
Right. So. Yeah. And you know, portal, I think that it doesn't change anything that we're gonna be doing in the portal. So at least you're getting a guy with tons of upside. Now, one more point I thought was kind of interesting on Stokes, because his recruit ranking is a little all over the place. 24/7. 24/7 and On3. I mean, 24/7, I think, is my most trusted. On3, I think, in my opinion, has surpassed Rivals probably. And then ESPN is still included for whatever
reason, composite.
But Rivals and ESPN
have
him pretty low. I don't think they've quite updated yet. But he's 17th on3 in quarterbacks. And then 10th, 24/7, because Andrew Ivins really did his evaluation.
Yeah.
Was high on him. And so I was curious. To look back at quarterbacks who were ranked 10th by 24/7 in their respective cycle and see how their careers panned out, right? And if you look back at the last decade of guys who were 10th in the QB rankings on 24/7, Tyler Buchner is going to start as a true freshman, as a redshirt freshman, sorry, for Notre Dame. Haynes King.
Is he really? Damn.
Yeah, so Buchner was 10th. Haynes King would have won the job as a redshirt freshman. He got injured. Dylan Morris, Washington, started in his second year. Tyler Shuff, Oregon, started in his third year. Sam Ellinger started as a true freshman. Jalen Hurts, true freshman. Drew Locke, true freshman. Brad Kaya, true freshman. And JT Barrett, redshirt freshman. So
interesting.
Regardless of, you know, if you're
a lot of year two guys mostly.
Right. So regardless, you know, if you're someone who thinks Stokes, you know, may never play it down here, we're going to recruit over him, the numbers tell us that, you know, he probably will play.
He's playing year two.
You know, if you're going based off past. Now, I know the portal's more prevalent now, so you could argue that, but, you know, the numbers are what they are. So I found that to be interesting.
Yeah. No, that's definitely, like, I haven't done the deep dive in, I'll actually tell a few people that, because it's like, I haven't done the deep dive into, like, where that average quarterback like kind of starts, because it's always it, like, for me when I look at quarterbacks, it's always situational, right? So
yeah,
like you said, Sam Ellinger, for example, he walked into Texas and he walked in as in or like year one of Herman, the local kid. He went to Westlake, which is like 10 minutes from UT. Like he was the golden boy of the town, and they were just like, screw it, we're gonna start the local kid. Like, we don't have a quarterback, we might as well let Sam take his lumps. So like things like that, like Hurts was the best man for the job. Like Kaya took the job, came and got to campus in like June and took the job. So like, there's always circumstances that make kids play early and make kids play late. And obviously, I think with Stokes, I do think a fair assessment would be, depending on who we get in the portal and who we get in this class, if they add one more in the portal or through high school, or if they get a big name one in 2024, I could easily see him starting by year two. So just because there isn't a lot there on the roster, like Anthony will 100% be gone by then, because at worst he's only here one more year after this one, and he could be starting by year two. That's a very real possibility that people need to like come to grips with and just get over the fact that we just took him because we missed on Rashada, like, which isn't the end of the world.
Yeah, I mean, he's only started one year at the varsity level, so he's one guy who I think
this kid's 16.
I'm really, you know, excited and anxious at the same time. I guess curious to see what he does in his senior year, because his ranking could kind of go all over the place. I expect other sites to kind of catch up to 24/7 and move up, but we'll see. And then Treyon Webb, the last one, obviously. Did you see that he trolled Wilt Fong? I love that for us.
Yeah, no, that I personally like when I saw Penn State, I was like, what? I mean, Penn State, he did like Penn State, he did like South Carolina. I mean, I think we all saw that meme that was, I don't want to say it on the show, but you saw the meme that the South Carolina fan posted. I thought that was hysterical. But
yeah. He got that.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
You got that dog in you.
Yeah.
Gamecock, yeah.
So like, kid's a great kid. Like, he's a great kid. Gator legacy, depending on what your definition of the legacy is. Like, his uncle was great here. I mean, Lincoln Riley wanted him at OU. I mean, he was committed to Georgia for a little while. I mean, I don't know how much they still want him, but I mean, it's a great running back take. I mean, it's good. I mean, I give Jacksonville a lot of shit on Twitter. I mean, being from South Florida, but Gator country is Jacksonville. They've needed to take that back for years. McElwain and Mullen did a terrible job, and I give Napier a ton of credit. So,
yeah. Again, getting footprint.
A great kid from Trinity. Yeah, getting a great kid from Trinity who's going to wants to be here. It's kind of like Sharif. Like, both are great takes. Both are really solid football players, in-state kids, hometown, homegrown kids who are going to work their ass off, and probably, I think, both are early enrollees. So we'll definitely be seeing them on the field next year. So that's a couple big wins for the staff to keep kids home in. Perception and optics. So
yeah, and for the offense, we want to run. I mean, you needed to take a running back this cycle, and I think, you know, we both agreed. His, you know, physical traits don't really lend themselves toward ever being an All-American type, but I think he's a pretty sure bet to be very productive. Honestly, Montrell Johnson, looking at both of those guys, I think that might be a fair comparison.
Trell's really good. I mean, some people don't notice, but like, Webb played, I don't know what the injury was. Someone told me this right after he committed. Webb played hurt. All of last season, like, he played, I don't know what it was. I really wish I would have checked before I came on the pod and actually did some prep, but he played hurt all last season. So I'm excited to see if maybe now that he's 100% healthy and how he does this year. I mean, obviously we all talk about college meal plans. College meal plans can make a football player 10 times better because you're not eating crap food all the time. So I think he can develop in better than what people kind of expected. I mean, we saw him post a couple of trolls about how Florida fans didn't want him because of the crystal balls, which was hilarious. And I love when fans do the, oh, we didn't want him anyways thing. But I think he can be a really good football player at UF, like running back one or running back two here at the worst. So it's good to see.
Yeah. And
I don't think they're done at running back either, whether it's Baxter or the transfer portal. Like, running back's the easiest position to add to for sustainability, and we've seen a great running back market in the transfer portal. In the last, I think this is going to be year three of the portal, I think. So like, this is, we've got 2 years of evidence now that the running back market in the portal is pretty good. So
yeah. So I guess you know, to wrap up commit talk, a little sunshine pumping. We both were talking about playing around with the 24/7 class calculator, and so I found something interesting. If you take all of the commits that we have on board right now, right? And then you add the dudes who look to be like heavy leans. So I had those written down as Aiden Mizell, Will Norman, Jaquavius Sorry, Jordan Castle, Cameron James, Jakeem Jackson, the corner from Osceola, and then Andy Jean. The class would have 13 kids who are in the top 300 of the composite. Now, 13 actually would be the most top 300 kids since the 2013 class with Muschamp. But the caveat is that not one of them is a top 100 kid. So it's almost like we're able to close the deal on these quality players and build depth. But when we want to talk about, you know, building for championships, it's about the top 100 and the top 50. And, you know, you're involved in the NIL space. So, you know, you can kind of tell the people what you want, but from a fan perspective, for a lot of us, the sense is kind of becoming that kids that, you know, you require recruiting, you know, like these top 200, 300 kids, we're able to land on the top 100 when it turns into more of a bidding war kind of thing. That's where we're lacking. That's what it looks like from the outside, at least.
And I totally get that. This is kind of like a complex answer. So if I go too long on a tangent, just tell me shut up. So like we saw, like last year was kind of an unknown, and even this year it's still kind of an unknown, but we saw Travis Hunter and Harold Perkins run a master class on how to up your value last year. And every kid this cycle saw it. And like, even if you look at the 247 numbers, I've had this conversation with multiple people. It's the numbers of elite commits before this month were historically low. Like all the top 100 kids, there's never been this many top 100 kids on the market in July before or August, but now they're starting to come up because a lot of them want to get it done before their senior years. So these high volume recruitments are going later and they're becoming more and more high maintenance because all these kids kind of know what they're worth, where they like, and how to up their value. Like, I mean, Jesus, we saw a kid committed to Baylor last night who said, he's the quarterback who's like, I'm committed to Baylor, but it's a four school race and it's with Ohio State, Texas A&M, and Notre Dame. And
I'm that came up in one of my group chats. So it's like, you're not committed.
Like you're committed, but you're not committed. Like you have your spot, but you're taking other offers to see what you're worth. And at the end of the day, like you're probably going to go to school X and be like, okay, this is what school Y is offering, even though he might not play there. But it's like, you can hear offers. Not every school is doing this. I don't want to hear that they're not, but you can like see what you're worth other places and eventually go home, which is kind of what a lot of kids are doing right now. Because again, we went into this with the NCAA having no plan, no structure, no anything. So like more power to the kids for taking advantage of every opportunity they can. They deserve everything they're getting and more, honestly. But so back to your point about the top 300, but no top 100 kids, like a lot of these kids now, like this is a really good class. Like I think we're in the 8 to 10 range. I know the top 100 is a concern, but if you look at the depth and disasters we've had since, I don't want to keep using Muschamp because I feel like that's an outdated thing at this point, but even with just McElwain and Mullen, like, we had the term Randy specials at Randy linebacker. We were missing constantly at defensive tackle, like the defensive tackle room. Like, they want six or seven defensive linemen to fix the issue that the last staff left them, which was basically with nothing. So I respect them for trying to commit to it. Like if you look at the roster, like after Gerv, Jalen Lee, and Big Dez, like there's really not much you can
do. I think McClellan's going to play. I think McClellan's going to field year one.
Yeah, McClellan might need a year, but he's going to have to play.
Exactly.
Right. So if you want to talk about championship level depth, like this is good championship level depth. And I've even said like next year, like this is good. Like Billy's, how many times have you heard Billy say the word foundation at a press conference? Yeah. It feels like you hear every media availability, like foundation structure, yada, 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 UF future, whatever his shtick is. It's better than a Gator standard. But Billy at least has a plan. And I know AJ not getting AJ Harris sucks. Like, if we miss on Malik Bryant, that won't be great. Cedric Baxter going to Texas, not a great option. Like, again, none of these are great optics. Looks. Yeah. And they're kids you're going to have to get in the future. But for year one on a staff where so much is new in college football and your resume is basically a Sun Belt championship, like I get the kid's perspective. Like I try to take emotion out of this. I try to take all that out of this, but I get the perspective of the kids being like, well, I could go to Kirby or I could go to Nick, or I mean, as much as I hate to say it, shit, even Mario has won a Rose Bowl and two Pac-12 titles. So like I get it, but for this really good foundational class, like it's a balanced class. Mm-hmm. There's going to be four stars everywhere. Like the offense, the offensive line's already sound and better than whatever Hevesy was bringing in. Receiver, big upgrade. Tight end, they're not really taking any. I mean, so like if you go position by position, it's a lot of really, really good, but you might leave feeling you left an opportunity to go from really, really good to great. Yeah.
Now, position by position, just to, you know, but in O-line, O-line, honestly, if I had to name one position group that I'm excited to see this, you know, this staff develop, I'm curious.
Like we
brought in
4-star guards coming now.
Well, we got Harris, who I think his rating's going to bump big time. I don't know why he's, you know, borderline 3-4. I think he's going to be a great player.
And Lovett is like 6'6", 325 at like the age of 6. Like he hasn't even turned 17 yet heading into senior year. Like he's young.
No. And so, and then the Wade's kid, the Herman kid.
Really good.
Yeah. Genuinely excited to see what this staff can do with the physical.
And we're recruiting bigger. We're recruiting like bigger SEC like caliber linemen now. Mm-hmm. Not like projects that are just leftovers. Like even so, like I'm excited. Like I'm not concerned really now. If the team, I think if the team wins 8 or 9 games, you could see a lot of kids like be like, whoa, like shit, Ford is good. Like Ford is fun. Like the Swamp is fun.
Yeah.
So that's always going to happen as the season comes out. Like new names are going to get out of the board and we'll see where that takes us. So,
I think we do need I'm not really concerned. I think we do need to land one or two of those tackles that we're now targeting because like, you know, I think this staff certainly will be able to develop under-heralded guys into an above-average SEC offensive line. But with the system that we're going to be running, if we're going to win big time, it's got to be, you know, top of the SEC on the line. And I trust, you know, we're going to be able to do that over the course of these next couple of years. The linebacker room is the one other one that's really concerning, especially given Florida talent at the top of the linebacker board in this class. It seems like about half of the top 15 linebackers are in the state and it's not looking great.
Yeah. I mean, look, like I'm not trying to let the cat out of the bag, but they're probably going to end up with Lewis Carter and Jaden Robinson. Like that just seems like it's going to make sense. Like you don't commit to South Carolina and say you want 2 visits. You're booking 2 visits to Florida without any intention there. So like
I'm a Jaden Robinson Lake City fan. I covered his team for a year. I did for ESPN Gainesville.
You covered Lake City? God bless.
I was on the sideline. I went to some practices. So I loved what Coach Allen was doing over there. Now the head coach is Demetri Jackson, the former Gator. So, yeah, wouldn't be surprised to see him end up in the class. But I love Columbia. And I would love to, you know, establish a little bit of a footprint there.
Yeah. Yeah, no, like – I'm all for it. Like again, Jaden Robinson, Lewis Carter, really, really good football players. Mm-hmm. Like really, really good. But if you want to get to where Georgia and Alabama is, you need to get Raylan. Like, and for now, those guys are fine. But in the next couple of years, you need to get the Raylan Wilson. You got to land the Malik Bryans. Mm-hmm. You got to flip the Pup Howards. Like you, which I still don't think for Pup is off the table. But who knows? So
he's probably my biggest want in the flip market right now. Is a Pup.
He just has it. Yeah, like he's got a meal. Like you can't teach how many I looked at his stats and like 130 tackles like in high school. Like
Well, he's a true Mike, which you know teams aren't recruiting so much of nowadays.
True Mike in 5 years.
You're converting edges. You're converting under like a Lewis Carter. You know if he walked on today, that's a safety now. In our strength program, probably get him to 220.
Probably linebacker. Yeah. So overall, like linebackers got to get better. That's probably my biggest concern right now. O-line, I have faith that they'll figure it out. I'm not pleased how a couple things have gone, but it happens. So, but yeah, so I still think position by position is going to be a really good class. I mean, top 8 to 10 I think the portal will be better this year than last year. I think everyone last year underestimated the fact that, kids would get NIL deals to stay at the school instead of just leaving and being in the free market. So I think now that we have a better understanding of that, I think the portal will be better and more efficient. So I still think the portal is a great outlet for another year or two with this rebuild, but eventually it's not a model for long-term stability.
Yeah. And then, you know, we got 4 minutes left, but when you look at, you know, the foundation of this class, you know, the surplus of, you know, quality 4-star guys at positions of need that we're going to bring in, it's no doubt going to be, you know, a good class for what we want to do. But I think the elephant in the room is whether or not we land Cormani McClain or not, because that's what's going to really determine, you know, the outlook of this class, you know, the perception. And
I mean, if you want to do this Cormani thing and NIL thing in like 3 minutes while we can, we might as well just do it. like Cormani obviously is the crown jewel. I'm tired of hearing about it. We have 4 more months to go. We've been hearing about it for over a year. I mean, I would be shocked if he showed up for Friday Night Lights, but I mean, I respect how hard they're trying. Like, they're doing everything right. I mean, we will be ready for Cormani. We will do everything. They're going to do everything we can for Cormani. I mean, he's just a kid you have to land. It's that simple. So
right. And that's kind of why I feel good about it, because, you know, it just kind of seems like one of those things where, you know, you don't bring Raymond in to not win that one. Especially, you miss O'Harris, you miss Mitchell. And that's understandable given where they went.
Yeah.
You know, the way that their recruitments panned out, kind of.
And I give Cormani a lot. I give Cormani a lot of credit of waiting till December to maximize your value and make everyone squirm and have all the attention. More power to the kid. You only get this process once, but I do wish they were able to get him in and just, I'm not saying it's a foregone conclusion, but just get him in and maybe like recruit and be the transcendent player. Because like, even with Mullen, like we never really got that transcendent player out of high school. Like we got Bowman, but that was through the portal.
Yeah.
Now he's already gone. But
Dexter was like, the highest recruit. He was a Polk kid, just like,
He was a Polk kid and he was a late bloomer too. Like there hasn't been a kid who, like Cormani, who was like, who made like, oh shit, it's cool to go to Florida again, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's what the staff really needs. Like Kamari was great, but it was a transition class and it was so last minute. Like it didn't really have a ripple effect. We're seeing the ripple effect now, but still.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I mean, inroads at IMG, certainly that's paying dividends already with.
Yeah, it's about time.
Kamari Harris again on the O-line. I think he'll play year two. I think that's a starter, you know, pretty early on in his career, but you're right. At the end of the day, this class, I think it'll come down to, there's no way around that, really.
It's Cormani or bust for this class, perception wise at this point.
Yeah. All right, but overall,
time on the
we are
the Zoom machine. You got anything else you want to plug?
Not really. I mean, overall, you know, a quarterback take, a solid running back, really, you know, improved recruiting across the board outside of maybe the O-line and linebacker. And you know, if it's two position groups that are lacking, given I think that Napier is going to be a lot better about adapting, adjusting, maybe, you know, shedding dead weight on the staff than Mullen was, I think it's a solid enough start, even if it's not exactly the bump class that people wanted. I don't think it was quite fair to compare Napier's bump class to guys like Kirby, who, you know, had a reputation, didn't have to deal with NIL, Saban, Meyer, you get what I'm saying? So I think 24 is really going to be the year to push for top five.
Yeah, 24 will tell me a lot more about how this is going to go than this year. This year, just win 8 games and have a good bum class, and you're good with me. So that's my expectation. That's my standard.
Yeah, man. All right. Well, great to have you on. Great, always great to talk recruiting, especially this time of year.
Appreciate it, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, have you back on soon. We have an actual season to play. I couldn't be more excited.
Yeah, I mean, games are going to get played. I'm excited for that, man. I'm excited for everyone. I'm excited to be back in the swamp. So it'll be a fun year.
All right. Catch you later. Go Gators.
Appreciate it. Go Gators.